You are listening to the Fam Cells. We don't have sex ever.
We've been like lying a lot because we've been having a lot of like record label meetings, and they can just be kind of boring because they ask you the same thing. So we just started lying to them and like making the story different each time. But the actual story is I invited her to a sleepover because I was like, I'm just going to invite girls I think are cool on Instagram to my house and like force feed them like chicken nuggets and like watch a movie with them. And she didn't really like me very much, but then she set me up for her ex-boyfriend. So yeah, he said he was going to bring some friends, but it was actually another couple, so it would have been fine. But in my head, I'm like, I'm going to have to entertain like so many men. You know, like Counter-Strike?
No.
Like the shooting game?
Okay, well, sure.
It's like a horrible incel shooting game. Sure. And it was basically to go watch people play that live for 5 hours in a cinema. That was our date.
I didn't think that was real.
No, it's a real story.
To be honest, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to know about how you guys kind of went from just being friends to starting making music. And maybe if you could speak to a little bit how that first day in the studio went for you too.
Yeah, me and Rowan just kind of realized that we're both marketing geniuses and that we like looked cool together and we somehow just like had to make it. We would just go to Starbucks and we'd like put in a big bubble like rich. And we would just like write off like little speech bubbles on like how that was going to happen. And then we met Ike and we went to the studio and we got really drunk because we were too scared to like sing in front of him. But we like made him hit this playlist and he like totally got it and we just started riffing. And then we made like 7 songs or something in a night. And then it was like, yeah, you're musicians now.
What was on that playlist?
The Raincoats. I put on a lot of like screamo like chiptune things, Dap Politics, and some like Japanese ones, and then Rowan put on a lot of like 60s music.
Just from reading, you guys listen quite widely but have this really novel sound. What kind of went into like the development of your sound, if anything, or did it just kind of all come together when you were famously really really drunk in the studio?
I think just like a first album, it kind of is just a collection of like everything you've ever done turned into like one thing. I was also just trying out different ways of singing because I didn't know how to be on tune. So I was like, I'm just going to try and sound cool. So I was like thinking about like Lil Wayne sometimes. And then I was sometimes thinking about Bikini Kill. And then I was just really into chiptune at the time. And I thought it like blended things in well. So
I guess it's similar to the independent music that gets made here. Like everyone who's in a band is kind of mates with each other and they all make music together. And I wondered if you could explain what the collaborative environment in London is like, because you had Ike of Bass Victim on the production for I Have to Get Hotter.
I feel like music has honestly changed so much in the past couple of years. It seemed before it was like really dark, like techno DJs. Anyone like associated to Drain was getting booked for everything. But now it's become really folky. Just at parties, people start picking up guitars, sometimes in like a pretentious way, sometimes not. Sometimes it's like we're all singing along to Alex G. It's definitely become a lot more folky. Most people are making music now. And yeah, we all do it together, which is really nice. I think Bass Victim kind of started it, honestly, because they kind of brought live music back.
Yeah.
I don't know if that even answers your question.
That's okay.
You want to do some singing? I think we need to shout something.
Yeah.
Should we shout? I liked your indie live.
You're the indiest girl in school, and that's why I can't date you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think we'd like... Yeah. How would you shout? Would you shout first? Like, shout. I've already got a preset idea of how it would go.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you and Ron are both stylists?
That's so funny. That's like... that's like the third time someone said that to us. It's like not true at all.
Oh.
I don't know like where this came from.
I think someone is spreading rumors about you online.
That's honestly a horrible rumor. It's like the worst thing anyone's ever said about us. No, so I'm like a coder and Rowan's like a painter. I think we styled like 2 people in our lives, but we're both way too bad at eating food cleanly to be stylists. We have so many nice pieces of eat, just get stains everywhere, so we're not stylists.
Nonetheless, you guys have such a fun live presence, and I wondered if you could just tell for us here who probably won't get the chance to see you, what kind of goes into your live shows?
Beforehand, we sing Do Re Mi, and then we go on stage and we jump really high. And the last time we played a show, there was no stage. We went on like two different boys' shoulders and we were like fighting each other.
Okay, awesome.
And I threw my shoes into the crowd and I forgot that people in Paris are low-key thieves, and they like stole my shoes for like 4 hours.
Oh, but they
and I was like running around this venue barefoot. Yeah, finally. Like someone like caught someone trying to steal the venue in my shoes.
That's a crazy shout to have the nerve to give them back.
It was so crazy.
I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about your lyrics, because I think they speak to all of the worst parts of people, or like the thoughts and feelings of that I think especially young women have that they might not be able to readily admit, especially on, yeah, I don't know. I think it was quite interesting to me on a first listen going, oh, like this is just kind of every conversation I've ever had with my friends ever, but no one talks about this very really openly. And I found that to be super empowering in a way. It made me feel less alone, and I kind of shared them with my friends and they were like, oh, we're not the only crazy ones, in the best way.
Are you disappointed you're not the only crazy girls in the world?
No, hell no. People make me feel crazy. I don't think I'm actually that insane. So it was nice. It was nice. Thank God there are more.
For me, like, yeah, I always felt that. Like, I loved when Lily Allen talked about feeling fat in songs, because it was kind of, no one ever talks about it. Everyone just thinks you're like either like effortlessly skinny or you're not. And it's like, no one ever talks it. It's like low-key everyone. Me and Ro, if we see a picture where we look slightly fat or something, we like crash out like so hard and no one ever talks about it. So yeah, I always wanted to make music like that, especially because I feel like a lot of music for girls, it's like, oh, I'm so hot, I can steal your man. I've personally never felt like I could steal someone else's boyfriend. There's free music for that. I look at a lot of like hymns, like Come Let Us Adore hymns, like based on a hymn. I went to like a really crazy girls boarding school that was religious, and it was like 2 hours of church every day, which kind of maybe was why I hated singing for a while, because if you were good at singing, that meant that you had to be in the church like 4 hours every day singing. And so I remember like in school, I would try and like make my voice sound really horrible, so then I didn't have to be in the choir, which meant that I could like chill out more at school. But yeah, we did have to sing these like hymns every day, and I guess like a lot of the songs is like based on like how insane I felt as a teenager, so it kind of made sense.
One of the last songs I wanted to talk about is probably one of your most famous songs, is He Needs Me, and it sounds like every crash out any girl I know has ever had. And I wanted to ask if you had any advice for women going through a crash out.
I would tell you if I knew, honestly. I think, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I heard. and I
think there's like no cure.
There is no cure. I guess we'll just like listen to awesome music and try and get through it.
Start looks maxing.
I've heard it's really good for you and really good for your mental health.
I've heard your life is way better.
Yeah, I know. And there's a great community around it. You can meet people.
Yeah.
Really healthy too.
Just good start doing math.
I started wearing 2 different pairs of shoes because my room was really messy and I could never find my shoes. And now no one will fuck me because I wear 2 different pairs of shoes. And every day I'm like, I have to get hotter, I have to get hotter, I have to get hotter.
Well, it's called Drive because it's like driving.
That's so
home.
Cool. People don't drive here.
Really?
Do people have cars in New Zealand?
Oh,
yeah, that's not a thing. It hasn't come to England yet.
You don't have cars there. No,
not
it's
yet.
Actually a problem. Like, too many people drive. Everyone drives. Because our public transport is so bad.
You guys are so clever.
Best right. thing ever. Hasn't caused so many problems for us at all.
And I had to claw her, and now she's in Turkey getting new double D's.
I don't even know where that came from. I think because Pitchfork isn't critical enough. Like, low-key, they gave us, like, too good of a score.
Right.
I think they should have given us a lower score. You don't believe that. But it's, like, meant to be provocative music, unfortunately. Mm. Like, I kind of wish I wasn't so punk and provocative, but I kind of am by just, like, nature.
Right.
And, like, Pitchfork used to like hate on hipsters making music, and they should bring that back. I once got a comment that said, if you were making this music 10 years ago, you would be on the site Die Hipster Scum. And I was like, that's so real.
Such a loser.